Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with Church Christ Alive's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. Have any questions about the lesson, I do my best. The Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over there, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, thank God for you all just listening. If you don't mind, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that you have blessed us on this day and at this time to assemble together again, to go into this lesson, this message, and to enter into your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again that you are God, and we're grateful for the many things that you have done and you're doing and going to do. So, Lord, we lift you up today and magnify you because you are worthy to be praised. And we ask that your spirit would accompany us on this journey and this message this day. So, Lord, thank you. Father, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Praise God for this blessed day. Today, we are looking, we are still on our week of, if you want to call it, evangelistic missionary work or being on the field. Today is titled Witnessing to Hindus, Manifestation from One God. We're talking about the Hindu religion and witnessing unto them. Amen. And if there's any Hindus listening to this broadcast, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and he wants you to receive the gospel. And I pray that the Lord will manifest this unto you, because it's going to take the combination of two things. The giving of the gospel to you. And number two, the witnessing of gospel from Jesus Christ to you. Amen. So today, as I said, we're looking at witnessing to Hindus. Want to give a little research information first. And then we're going to go into some scriptures, okay? First of all, from the article entitled Hinduism, Origins, Facts, and Beliefs, History. I want to read a little bit to you on here. And it says, in talking about the origins of Hinduism, it says most scholars believe that Hinduism started somewhere between 2300 BC and 1500 BC in the Indus Valley near the modern-day Pakistan, but many Hindus argue that their faith is timeless and has always existed. Well, we can expect that, okay? You know, these religions, you know, you're going to say we've always been around, or, you know, we're number one. They're going to say it just like many churches in Christianity or many churches that may claim Christianity. They're always saying that we're the one. But it goes on to say, unlike other religions, Hinduism has no one founder, but is instead a fusion of various beliefs. And you're going to find that out with many of these religions. They have, as we looked at, even dealing with Buddhism, they have a lot of different beliefs packed in, okay? And you know, is a bunch of confusion. And I hate to say it, even in Christianity, we have found a lot of, quote, beliefs. And this is why Jesus has been sending the Elijah with the extra oil. In the messages, he's been speaking on things that have been controversial and has brought division among his people. Amen. Because when there's an argument, let's say, between his people, the number one settler of the argument is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So let's go on here. It says around 1500 BC, the Indo-Aryan people migrated to the Indus Valley, and their language and culture blended with that of the indigenous people living in the region. There's some debate over who influenced whom more during this time. The period when the Vedas were composed became known as the Vedic period and lasted from 1500 BC to 500 BC. Rituals such as sacrifice and chanting were common in the Vedic period. Now, I'm going to stop there. So generally, they haven't pinpointed who has been exactly the founder of Hinduism. And like I read to you, they said, well, hey, those who are Hindus say, well, we've been around all the time, you know, always. But no, you haven't. Okay, no, you haven't. But amen. Now, I want to look at another article, because this is one of the things we're to talk about this morning in dealing with Hinduism. And it's titled, How to Share the Gospel with a Hindu. And one of the things it talks about, and we're talking about, for example, concerning Jesus, okay? And as I share with you guys on many broadcasts, you know, throughout, I told you that if there's one common theme that these other religions and cults is going to attack concerning Christianity, is Jesus Christ, period. I mean, period. And they're going to attack his deity, his resurrection, his crucifixion, you name it. Okay? So as a Christian, you know, you got to watch out for that. Too many of us as Christians, we're taking on what the world says, that, hey, love and peace means to accept and tolerate. Now, about Jesus, it talks about how the Hindu believes that Jesus, now listen to this closely, that Jesus was just one manifestation or appearance of the supreme God of the universe. I'm going to read that again. Yeah, you heard me right. A Hindu believes that Jesus was just one manifestation. Now, if it's saying one manifestation or appearance of the supreme God, that this supreme God has more than one manifestation, but Jesus was just one of them. Okay, my Lord. And from what I understand, this supreme God, I think some of these Hindus believe, is called Brahman. So they're trying to say that Jesus is one of the manifestations of Brahman. Well, Jesus Christ, and this is what we're going to look at today. That's why it's the title of Witnessing the Hindus. Manifestation from one God. Jesus is a manifestation from one God. That's the true and living God. And I want to point you guys that's listening, first-time listeners. You could go back and listen to the series I did earlier this week, starting off about the Jehovah Witness, how Jesus Christ is God, to look at the scriptures on that. Jesus Christ is Lord and God, and he's the manifestation from one God. Let's go into the Bible here. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to look at verse 1 and 14, okay? Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Now, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, singular. Not the Word was gods, okay, or not the words was God. And verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh. Okay? It didn't say, and one of the words were made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it didn't say one of the words was made flesh. Jesus is the manifestation of one God, and that's the true and living God, amen, that we're told in Isaiah chapter 43, that God said, I am God, there's none before me, neither will be any after. Besides me, there is no other. This is what he said in Isaiah. So Christ, as we see in verse 14 here, he is the Lord God incarnated in the flesh. He is not, quote, one of the manifestations of God, okay, per se. He is God incarnated in the flesh. Amen. And then you have to watch how many of these religions is coming up with their own God. But like I said, what I read to you, think that he's just one of the manifestations of the Supreme God that they look to as Brahman, okay? But the true living God is not Brahman, okay? It's not Brahman. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Singular, not a God or gods. You know, you have all these, many of these religions with coming with, there's a bunch of gods, you know, and coming up with their own type of gods. But it's only one true and living God. He is the supreme creator. Amen. He is Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the true and living God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, the Lord God ain't incarnating to other people in the flesh. He got one manifestation in the flesh, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. No one else, okay? We've already had our problem with men throughout the years who have, quote, call themselves God, anywhere from Jim Jones to the guy in Waco, Texas. You know, you have these men calling themselves God, as if God is manifesting himself a bunch of times in the flesh. But Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God in the flesh. And that's what I share with the Hindus. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the manifestation. And he ain't just no one of the manifestations. It's not like God is incarnating into different people in the flesh. That's not it, people. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And one of the things we can look at that goes with this Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, because we know that the Lord God, many years before the incarnation in the flesh, one of the people he gave concerning this thing to happen was Isaiah. And one of the beautiful things about the Lord is that he doesn't do without having himself a witness. This is why when God does things in our lives, he plants the seed first of his word. In other words, he tells you what he's going to do before he manifests it. And that's always a gap between when he tells you and when he manifests. And then that gap has to be an exercise and a faith, okay? Because faith will help bring about the manifestation. See, he plants the seed first. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, now, you guys remember that Joseph was contemplating and thinking about putting Mary away privately. Because, hey, let's be real about this, people. You know, you're looking at this woman you can be with, and boom, she's pregnant, okay? And you know that you haven't slept with her. And so Joseph, the Bible tells us that Joseph was a just man, okay? So he wasn't being a low-down man. And even though this seemed like something like, hey, Mary, you slept around on me, he didn't try to show her up, if you understand what I'm saying, because verse 19 said he was not willing to make her a public example. So he was not willing to shame her, you know, and sometimes people may have some on people, and they may be wrong, and they try to shame them in the job that's not good, and trying to shame them. Now, even though what you may have on them is true, okay? But here, the Bible said that while he was thinking on it, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and here he's breaking down to him the work of the Lord in Mary, okay? Hallelujah. I know if anybody probably glad about that, it was Mary, because, you know, it doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot to, like, where Mary was trying to, you know, plead with Joseph, saying, nah, Joseph, you know. But the Bible tells us in verse 23, says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. So here, the angel is actually repeating what was told to Isaiah. And he said, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now remember, this is why in the Bible it's capitalized, the G is. It didn't say a God with us or one of the gods with us. It said God with us, okay? So Jesus, because you look at verse 21, it tells us what the child name will be, Jesus. Jesus is the manifestation or the incarnation of God in the flesh. And once again, he's not one of the manifestations, you know, as if God is just going to be, you know, manifesting himself in the flesh in the like of other people, okay? Jesus is the only manifestation of God in the flesh. That's what I say to you that are listening. Perhaps if you are a Hindu, you're listening. Jesus is the only manifestation of God in the flesh, period. Not, you know, one of the manifestations, okay? Amen. And in his plan of manifestation, he came to be a sacrifice for us all, to be an atonement for our sins. Amen. This is not something that Hindu religion can do for you. Without Jesus Christ, without the manifestation of God in the flesh and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the shedding of the blood, we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance, people. And I say this to those of you that's listening once again, perhaps you are Hindu. I say this to you, that he did this for us all. That's including me, that is witnessing to you now on this broadcast. Okay? He did this for all of us. Amen. And I am so very grateful to him for that. Okay? Very grateful. And once again, as at this time, as I give this word of the gospel to you, I look for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to water this seed that I'm sowing to you and manifest himself and bring forth the revelation truth. Amen. I look to that. Hallelujah. Because I want you to understand that I have been commissioned by the same Savior to share with you the gospel of Christ. Amen. And I know what you've been told. Like I said, you've been told that Hinduism have been around always. No, it hasn't. It hasn't been around always. I have to be honest with you and tell you the truth of that. But my God has been around always. That's why we saw in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. He is the beginning. You cannot go further. You cannot go before God. Okay? You can't go before the true and living God. You can't do it. There is nothing. Okay? There is nothing before the true and living God. Okay? So despite what your religion may teach you, the true and living God is the supreme creator. And he is the, and Jesus Christ is the only manifestation of him in the flesh. Period. Period. He's not manifesting in a reincarnation. He's not manifested as a goat or a bird, or you know, he's not, you know, manifesting as another person. And like I said before, we've had problems with men throughout the years who have claimed that they are God. And when a man claims he's God, he's saying that he's manifest in the flesh. He's God. Well, if anyone would accept that, then of course you would be saying that Jesus is one of the manifestations of God. Okay, but that simply ain't true. God especially did not incarnate in the flesh to do evil. Amen. And even these men who have claimed to be God was doing all kinds of evil, okay? Even having homosexual relationships, sleeping with women, doing all kinds of evil stuff and talking about their God. And understand this, just like many people follow them who were fooled by them in that, you have been fooled as well into thinking that Jesus is one of the manifestations of the supreme God. He's a manifestation of the one supreme God, that's our Lord God, who was in the beginning, according to John 1. But he's not one of the manifestations. He is the only manifestation of God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Now, I want to go to another one of God's book called The Record of Nephite. I want to go to what is called the Book of Mosiah, chapter 15. And some of you listening know that many times I allude to this part in the Record of Nephite because especially this is in one of these places here in the Nephite record where God used his servant to really break down the process of how things go dealing with him or dealing with Jesus, dealing with the Spirit of God. And it you know, break down part of the plan of God in the execution of or executing the plan for salvation, you know, because I have to be honest with you, and let's be real, there is have been much confusion among Christianity as to this, okay? And you have some in Christianity who have accepted these other doctrines of these other religions and that which is not Christian concerning God, okay? So, in Mosiah chapter 15, in Mosiah chapter 15, in the Record of Nephite, Jesus once again comes over And this is before Christ manifests in the flesh. The Lord God was dealing with a people over here and revealing things to him, to them, rather. I know that, as some of you in Hindu may have heard, just, you know, the Jews, the people over there in Jerusalem. And yes, God dealt with the people over there in Jerusalem, but they was not the only people. Now, some of you in Hindu may listen and say, well, okay, that's proof that God is deal with us. Okay, but understand something. When God deals with, let's say, different nations or different people, whatever he talks about, it never contradicts what he has already spoken. Now, you may say, well, what do you mean? Well, for example, let's take the subject of healing. If God told the group of people over there in Jerusalem, said, healing is my will, and he deals with another nation or people, not over there by Jerusalem, let's say over here on this continent, during the prehistoric times, like the Nephites here, and the subject is healing, and if he turn around and say, well, healing is not my will, that's not how God operates. That's confusion. Okay? There's only one true gospel. And the true gospel, when it's told, it brings unity. Not all these various separations and beliefs and all that. Now, in Mosiah chapter 15, verse 1, it said, and now Abinadi said it to them. Now, Abinadi was a servant of the Lord here on this continent. And he said, now Abinadi said unto them, I would that ye should understand that God himself should come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. This is something that the Lord God had to do himself for us. I want you, those of you who are Hindu that's listening, please listen to this, because like I told you, what the Lord God did in manifestation in the flesh was for us all. That includes me. That includes me. So even though I'm sharing this word with you, I'm not saying it was just for you, but it's for me as well. Okay? And he says, and because he dwelleth in flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. Okay? Amen. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son. Now, he said, because he dwelleth in flesh, okay? Amen. Not saying because he dwelleth, that flesh is one of the places he dwelleth, or he manifests in as the Son of God, or one of his manifestations, the Son of God. It doesn't say that. It doesn't even allude to that. He said the Father because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and the Son. Okay? You understand that? Amen. And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth. One God. So when it came to, especially, the manifestation of the one God, the God in the beginning that John tells us in the Bible, Jesus is the manifestation of God in the flesh, not one of the manifestations of the Supreme God, not one of the manifestations of Brahman. The one God is not Brahman, people. Not Brahman. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because Brahman didn't do no sacrifice for nobody, okay? He didn't say nobody for them seeing. Brahman didn't do that. Brahman did not create mankind, the God in the beginning of John 1 and 1 created mankind. The God in the beginning according to Genesis 1, created heaven and earth. That's the true and supreme God. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the manifestation. Not, once again, not one of the manifestations. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And the Lord wants those of the Hindus to hear this word. Amen. He wants you to hear this word. Glory to God. He wants you to hear the gospel. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus Christ loves you. And this is what the Lord wants you to know. Amen. I want to read one more verse here, and this is coming out of another one of the Lord's book called The Word of the Lord, and this is the word of the Lord through his angel messenger, the Elijah, that he sent from heaven. And I want to read a scripture, possibly two, but definitely a scripture. One of them has come from what is called the 84th message, the 84th time that the Lord sent his angel messenger. Now, you may say, well, why is it that you're coming from three books? Well, that's a good question. Because if you go in the Bible and look at Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 19, Matthew chapter 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, you would notice that one of the protocols of God in proving all things is the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay? So these three books, each one is a witness of the plan of God. The Bible being the witness of God's plan through the way of the Jews. The record of Nephi is the witness of God's plan through the people that is known, the Nephites and the Jaredites, who was on this continent during prehistoric time. And the word of the Lord is the witness of God's plan through his angel messenger. So once again, as I said before, the Lord God doesn't do without having himself witnessed. Now, in this 84th message, Jesus sent it out November the 3rd, 1966. I've given you a date so in your prayer time, you can take this date to the Lord and ask the Lord, did he send an angel November the 3rd, 1966? And I want to read what is called the 17th verse. And this is what the Lord has angel messenger to tell us. This message that the angel is delivering from the Lord. He said, I am God. I change not. I am he that was called Jehovah. Now listen to this. I am Jesus Christ. I am the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am the Lord. Then he says, I am he that was manifest in the flesh. In the flesh, death, and resurrection, I am he that is risen. I am the Lord God. He said, I am he that was manifest in the flesh. Okay? He just said, I am he that is one of the manifestations in the flesh. Or the manifestation of the flesh was one of the manifestations of the flesh when I came to flesh. He said, I am he. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what the Lord says, okay? Amen. He was manifest in the flesh. Plain and simple, people. Not one of the manifestations in the flesh. Okay? He is the manifestation in the flesh. We beheld him, as John said, the only begotten of the Father. He didn't say that Jesus Christ was one of the manifestations of me. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God in the flesh. Not one of, but he is the. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm grateful to being on Blog Talk Radio because this goes out worldwide. And we have a list of, I say, the top five countries that are listening in. And it's not saying that that's the only countries, okay, that's listening in. So I'm pretty sure at some point, someone who is either connected to Hindu or living in the area or something like that, I'm pretty sure that if they haven't heard, they will be hearing this broadcast, and I thank the Lord for it. Because the basic thing for me is to get this word to them. And this is what my God wants me to do, is to get this word to them. Amen? And so, as believers, followers of Christ, we have to know how to give the gospel. And the Lord gives us instructions in the word. And it's sad to say that some of us as Christians don't even study up on it. So we don't know how to present it like we should. And I think that, and I have to be honest with you, and those that Hindus are listening, I'm just going to be honest. It's just something to me that, you know, we are given a lifeline by the Supreme Creator, the Almighty Creator, the only true Creator. And we don't take a hold of that lifeline like we should. And me personally think that many times we take it for granted. And just like I had to accept the gospel to be saved, this is why I'm giving it to you. So to those of you that is Hinduist that's listening, I'm giving you this gospel to say, I never did wrong. I never been saved, never had to get saved. Oh, you don't want to got to get saved. You did all wrong. This is not what I'm saying. I'm giving you the lifeline that I myself had to receive. That's what I'm giving to you. Amen. So I don't want you to think that because I'm coming to you with the gospel, that my message is to you that I didn't have to receive it myself or that I didn't have to get saved. I did. Okay? I was living in sin. I was, excuse me. I was living outside of outside of God. I was not living according to his word. I was living according to my own ways. Okay? I wasn't into Hinduism. I wasn't into Buddhism. But I was still living in sin. And I had to receive the gospel of Christ to be saved. Because just like the Hindu who rejects Christ and end up lost in his sins could go to hell, so was I on the path to that way. So it didn't have to be just because, quote, you're a Hindu. Okay, so this same gospel that I'm giving to you guys, I have to give it to other religions. I have to give it to people that's not into, quote, religions. If they're outside of Christ and living in sin, I have to give this gospel to them as well. And this is what I'm sharing with you guys here. So I am very grateful for this opportunity to share the word of this message with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. We thank you for this day you've made and created. And we thank you for being our Lord and our God. Father, I pray, and I'm grateful for you watering the seed that I've sown, that it may bring forth the increase. So, Lord God, I lift you up. I magnify you. I praise you because you're worthy to be praised. In In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank the Lord for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. I'll be back tomorrow on dealing with Islam. So I thank God for all of you listening. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elias Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.